Maya. Maya, forever immersed in her Singer sewing machine, seemed lost to the outside world. Then Maya lost herself to love, a silent passion, but it sent tremors surging through her slight form, night after night, cresting in waves of tears and sighs. These were moments when she truly believed she would not survive the awful force of her longing to see him. Her body prostrate, ready for the dawn prayers, she made a whispered oath. By the greatness of God, I want nothing, O Lord, just to see him. I solemnly promise you, Lord, I don't even want him to look my way. I just want to see him. That's all I want. Her mother hadn't given the matter of love any particular thought, since it never would have occurred to her that pale Maya, so silent and still, would think about anything in this mundane world beyond her threads and the selvages of her fabrics, or that she would hear anything other than the clatter of her sewing machine. Maya seemed to hardly shift position throughout the day, or even halfway into the night. Her form perched quietly on the narrow, straight-backed wood chair in front of the black sewing machine with the image of a butterfly on its side. She barely even lifted her head, unless she needed to look. As she groped for her scissors, or fished another spool of thread out of the plastic sewing basket, which always sat in her small wood utility chest. But Maya heard everything in the world there was to hear. She noticed the brilliant hues life could have, however motionless her body might be. Her mother was grateful that Maya's appetite was so meager, even if, now and then, she felt vestiges of guilt. She hoped fervently, though she would never have put her hope into words, that one of these days someone would come along who respected Maya's talents as a seamstress, as much as he might appreciate her abstemious ways. The someone she envisioned would give Maya a fine wedding procession, after which he would take her home with all due ceremony and regard. That someone arrived. As usual, Maya was seated on that narrow chair, bent over the sewing machine at the far end of the long sitting room that opened onto the compound's private courtyard. Her mother walked over to her, beaming. She pressed her hand gently into her daughter's shoulder. "Maya, my dear, the son of merchant Suleiman has asked for your hand." Spasms shot through Maya's body. Her mother's hand suddenly felt unbearably heavy on her shoulder, and her throat went dry. She couldn't stop imagining her sewing thread winding itself around her neck, like a hangman's noose. Her mother smiled. "I thought you were too old by now to put on such a girlish show. You needn't act so bashful, Maya." And that was that. The subject was closed, and no one raised it again. Maya's mother busied herself assembling the wedding clothes, concocting just the right blends of incense, having all the large seat cushions re-upholstered, and getting word out to the entire family. Maya's sisters kept their views to themselves, and her father left the matter in her mother's hands. After all, these were her girls, and marriage was women's business. Without letting it be known, Maya stopped praying. Instead, she would whisper, "Lord, I made a sacred oath in your name," her voice wavering between submissive and plaintive. "I swore to you that I wanted nothing, nothing at all. Only, I said, I wanted to see him. I promise you I wouldn't do anything wrong. I wouldn't say a word about what I felt deep down. I made a vow, and I made it to you. So why did you send this boy, the son of merchant Suleiman, to our house? Are you punishing me for the love I feel? But I never let him know I loved him. I didn't breathe a word of it to my sisters. Why did you send Mr. Suleiman's son to our house?" "Maya, you mean you would really leave us?" Howler asked teasingly. Maya didn't answer. "Are you sure you're ready for it?" Asma asked, chuckling. "Just keep in mind the Bedouin woman's advice to her daughter. Those words..."